Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Himmat Sinca Sciences Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Yusuf. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities India Private Limited, I would like to welcome you all for 2Q FY24 post-result conference call of Himmat Sinca Sciences Limited. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, including Mr. Srikanth Himmat Sinca, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sankaranarayanan M., President Finance and Group CFO, Mrs. Shilpa Shanbhag, Vice President Strategic Finance. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Srikanth Himmat Sinca for opening remarks, post which we will take the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. As always, thank you for taking the time to join us on the earnings call this afternoon. I will take you through a brief business update, and I'm assuming that the financials are something that you've gone through. So after the business update, I'll open the floor to Q&A, and feel free to ask me any questions that you might have. Our Q2 FY24 operating performance continued to demonstrate progressive improvement YOY on the back of improved capacity utilization levels, softening raw material costs, and marginal easing of energy costs. During the second quarter FY24, our capacity utilization levels at our manufacturing facilities stood at 99% for our spinning division, 67% for our sheeting division, and 67% for our Terry Towel division. We continue to see a stable demand environment driven by expanding client base and growing presence across new markets. We are happy to announce recently that we've launched our Himeya brand into the domestic market during the end of the last quarter, and we'll be now focused on growing our market presence in India and aim to achieve revenues in the region of 1,000 crore over the next five years from this jurisdiction. Key raw material prices continued to remain stable during the second quarter FY24 and thereby contributed to improved operating margins YOY. Our net debt during the quarter remained range-bound and stood at 2,579 crore versus 2,512 crore as of 30th June 2023. These are our brief thoughts on the business update. We will be happy to open the floor to Q&A, and I'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from SmartSync Investment Advisors Service. Please proceed.
Sir, firstly, congratulations on a good set of results on a YOY basis and on the launch of Himeya brand.
Thank you. Thank you.
So my first question entailed regarding, do we plan on spending some additional CapEx on our Himeya brand since we are aspiring to grow this brand to a 1,000 crore brand within five years? Or will the existing capacity be enough to cater to the demand?
Fair question, Dhruv. So we don't see any specific requirements to augment capacity because of the launch of this brand. As I've shared with stakeholders earlier, you know, the company will, you know, will debottleneck its capacities as and when required within its annual maintenance capex and organic capex budgets. And we don't foresee anything beyond that as a requirement. So even if we have to debottleneck and or augment capacities marginally in the medium term, we will do so within our annual maintenance and organic capex budgets.
Got it, sir. That helps. And so my second question is that although our Y-on-Y basis, our growth has been very good, but on a quarter-on-quarter basis, our volume growth seems pretty subdued. Like you've mentioned that the capacity utilization has also remained stable on Q-on-Q basis versus our peers who have actually reported around 15% type of growth. So what is the reason behind the same? Like, is it due to our target markets being a bit different versus them since we are more export-focused?
So, I mean, the difference is, I mean, I can't comment on the others, but, you know, we have seen some improvement Q&Q also, but there are product mix variations, Dhruv, that keep coming through between quarters. So, you know, as far as we are concerned, we have been focused on making sure that we consolidate our performance. We focus on improving our operating performance. There could be movements between quarters, which, you know, ultimately it's a 12-week period. So there can be company-specific, launch-specific, client-specific sort of conditions that differ from company to company. But directionally, as you can see, YOY, you know, we are charting well.
Sure, sir. That helps, sir. And sir, how are we seeing the cotton prices at the moment since on Q-on-Q basis, our margins have remained relatively unchanged? However, based on our understanding, the cotton prices have went down a little. So can you please explain that variance?
No, that a little is a, you know, broad statement. You know, the cotton prices during this quarter vis-a-vis last quarter have remained range bound, you know, and the on a YOY basis they have continued to soften, as we said in a, they have softened as we said in a business update. So, you know, at this point our outlook is that for the first half, they've remained stable. The new crop is on its way in. And, you know, we will wait and watch as to how the markets react. At this point, we expect stability in cotton prices.
Got it, sir. That helps. And, sir, if I can squeeze in another question, then I just wanted to know that we have made certain investments in FDs worth close to 200 crores for H1. But we have actually raised certain debt and equity component to meet our borrowing repayments. So can you please shed some light on that?
Dhruv, I think there's something that you've misunderstood or misread. But will you please reach out to us offline? We'll be happy to take you through that in more granular detail.
Sure, sir.
On the face of it, there's some the numbers don't seem right. So we'll have to get into some details and explain that to you.
Okay, so actually it was mentioned in the cash flow from investing activities that we have invested close to 200 crores in FDs. But no worries, I will take that offline. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, regarding our debt repayments, there is our net debt has remained stable Q-on-Q as you said. And from your past statements, you said that, you know, debt reduction is our top capital allocation priority. So if you can help us understand what is the broad plan for debt reduction, and would it be fair to assume that till we don't pay off a decent amount of debt, we will not look a further expansion or inorganic growth?
Thank you for your question. So it is a it is a fair assumption to assume that we will not be taking on capex beyond our annual maintenance and organic capex requirements, as we have stated earlier to stakeholders. Whatever we undertake will be within these parameters, and we continue our focus on deleveraging. And while it's been range bound Q on Q, but YOY it's reduced by about 194 crores, our net debt. So we continue to focus on that and consolidate on our operating performance. Yeah.
Sure. So any numbers that you would like to share with us, probably 1 year, 2 years, what is our target?
Yeah, so we expect, from a June standpoint, YOY we had deleveraged by around close to 300 crores. Right now we are tracking about, let's say, close to 200 crores. So, every year we hope to deleverage in the region of between 100 to 200 crores, and, that's something that we see. That will take us to around close to 400 crores over the next 2 years in terms of total deleveraging is what we feel will happen.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. The second question is on the trade receivable days. So they have shot up from about 18-20 days, I'm talking about pre-COVID levels, to 91 days in FY23, and probably it's even a little higher in H1 FY24. So firstly, what is the reason for these trade receivable days increasing drastically, and how are we planning to get our working capital down? It's impacting our cash flows, and what would be the normal range for this?
It should be range bound. The reason you're seeing movement from pre-COVID to now on third-party receivables is because, we've added a lot of third-party clients after the commissioning of our Territal division.
Okay.
So pre-COVID, we had commissioned our Territal division for commercial production in October 19. And our receivable complexion and our client base has significantly, changed and broadened since then. And hence, there is a movement on receivables because of that. Because there are certain clients who we are not necessarily factoring, and so it is showing up on the receivables front. But standpoint of how much it should be, it should largely remain range bound, is what we feel.
Right, sir. And range bound means this similar level of numbers that you have seen in FY23 or H1 FY24?
No, even if we continue to grow organically, we will attempt to optimize our working capital cycle such that, it should be broadly range bound.
Sure, sir. I've got it. One question on the other expenses. So they are almost up by 32% on a year-on-year basis and 12% on a QOQ basis, which seems to have brought our EBITDA margins down a little bit on a Q1Q basis. So what are the major components in this other income what is the steady state number for other income as a percentage to revenue for us?
No, so the other income, you're talking about other expenses or other income?
Yeah. Other expenses. So it's gone up 32%, I think, year on year.
Yeah, so, we will just check on the, inclusions of some of the items vis-a-vis the grouping, and we'll be happy to get back to you on that. Please get in touch offline.
Sure, sir. I have also requested on mail to the company secretary, I think, for a few details. So if I could get a reply on that, it would be great. And congratulations on the launch of the Himalaya brand, and best of luck.
Thank you very much. We will most definitely get back on your queries to the best of our abilities. And if you've already written to the company secretary, that will be followed up. And this additional query of yours and other expenses will also be addressed. suitably. Yes. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducia Capital Advisors Private Limited. Please proceed.
Yeah. Am I audible, please?
Yes, Manish.
Yeah. So very good afternoon, and thank you so much for this opportunity. So first of all, my compliments on last couple of years have been tough, and CapEx coming up at in opportune time. Nobody could guess when COVID's gonna hit. So I think you've come out pretty well. So congratulations to the whole team, and I hope we keep on kind of going on the right trajectory. So, having said that, I did answer your question on the net debt levels. I was not very clear about it. So, at this point, we are at 2579 crores of net debt as of September 30th, 2023 balance sheet that we shared with us. So, say in 3 years, so we are in 24, so 27. What would that number be, approximately? This is the plan, the repayment schedules and everything that has been decided. They are already pre-decided.
Based on the run rates or bands of run rates that I just mentioned to Yash prior to your query, we should be just under 2,000 crores.
Okay. That would still be pretty significant. In fact, this is the cash flows only one can kind of repay. So we understand that. Secondly, about this domestic market capturing, has been an idea that has been there with the organization quite some time. I do recall that a couple of years ago, we had made a similar attempt and, atmosphere and those kind of brands were kind of launched. So, how are you kind of looking at the domestic market? If you could just give some sound bites on that.
So, Himatsinka first entered the Indian market in 2003 with the launch of its luxury brand Atmosphere for drapery and upholstery products. While the launch was successful, the positioning of the brand was in the luxury category, and therefore, its scalability and reach were, limited. Post that, we, were largely focused on global markets and not the domestic market. While the company grew, our focus was the North Americas, the EU, the UK, and APAC regions. But we had spoken with various stakeholders and told them that our India plans are work in progress and under review. And we finally have sort of recalibrated our approach to entering the Indian market. The Himeya brand is positioned to cater to a very broad section of audiences across price points. This is not a luxury brand unlike Atmosphere. And hence, the potential to scale to the kind of numbers that we're looking at over the next 5 years. The market in itself is a maturing market. It's a growing market and it's a consolidating market. So consumer preferences are maturing. The organized retail segment is consolidating. And the overall demand in the market is obviously growing, just like various other segments. So with this sort of backdrop, we thought that we must most definitely be present and in the market, and we must be present across price points and the categories that we operate in. And so that's what we're going to gun for over the next 5 years. It's also our attempt to make sure that our revenue streams are more balanced and not just emanating from, a few markets globally. It will also lend to better pricing power. It will lend to better I believe it will lend to better operating margins as well.
Thank you so much. So I would subscribe to that thoughts myself. So what kind of outlay are we proposing to, you know, develop the domestic market, like our presence there? So, you know, we have to set up the organization, we have to set up the distribution, we have to set up the whole lot of things. So what kind of outlay are we proposing for this whole project, if I could use the word?
Manish, the outlay will not be significant or actually very material because of two reasons. On the manufacturing front, as I said earlier, you know, we are not estimating or forecasting anything specific for this foray as such. I'm not talking about 5, 10, 15 crores of expenditure here and there, you know, to augment some supply chain infrastructure and things like that. I'm talking of anything beyond the materiality threshold. And therefore, we don't expect anything material to be required on the manufacturing front. And whatever is required, if at all, will be within our annual organic and maintenance capex budgets. Vis-a-vis the distribution piece, you know, the commitments will largely be coming in from the P&L and not from the balance sheet. Because, you know, investments won't be required. We're not, in the world of home textiles, you don't go and start opening stores and things of that nature. You leverage existing distribution platforms nationwide, and your product actually reaches the end consumer based on the strength of those distribution platforms. So in other words, the nature of this segment is such that you don't invest in creating new platforms. You invest in leveraging existing platforms. And if you invest in leveraging existing platforms, that definition of investment is largely driven by, you know, optimal models for product visibility. And that will largely sit in the P&L. So to answer your question, outlays are not going to be of any material kind as we foresee now for our foray and growth in India. Our commitments will be more driven on brand visibility and brand distribution, which will emanate from the P&L as we grow.
Absolutely, I get that. So in terms of the brand visibility, so there have to be some advertising campaigns and some, you know, above the line, below the line processes. So typically, one talks of about 5%, you know, of the revenue going towards advertising piece. So, but then, you know, that's only when the business has kind of matured a bit. So in terms of the numbers, would you have sort of some visibility?
Let me say it this way, Manish. You know, unlike the world of fashion, we don't expect, you know, upfront bulk outflows to establish the brand which will distort and or materially impact our operating performance on the P&L front. We don't expect that because that, to our mind and to the best of our knowledge and experience, this segment doesn't warrant those kinds of spends, unlike other segments, you know, that might need such expenditure. I mean, I'm talking from a standpoint of materiality. So we should have a balanced approach as we grow.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you know, my full best wishes on this, and all the very best. And we are going to participate in the whole group. Hopefully.
Thank you so much for your support, Manish. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ms. Prerna Junjunwala from Elara Securities. Please proceed.
Hello. Hi, sir.
Hi.
So congratulations on a strong set of margins that you have reported the last three quarters. Very commendable. Just wanted to understand, earlier participant has already asked, but I just wanted to stress on utilization level improvement. how much can we see over the next 2 to 3 years? Can we reach full utilization levels around 85% in the next 3 years time frame?
Yeah, absolutely. That will be our endeavor. In fact, 3 years are a fairly long time. We should be there much sooner.
Okay.
I won't be able to commit as to when, because it's a fluent. It's fluent in terms of market conditions. But 3 years is a very long time for us to move from 67 to the higher 90s. We should be there. We are targeting to be there much sooner, Prerna. As I said, there could be movements between quarters and things like that. But one has to keep in mind that quarters, I mean, you know, it's essentially, you know, 12 weeks. So a whole lot's not, I mean, while most corporates are, you know, scanned and measured every Q, but a whole lot can't change in 12 weeks. So one has to look at it more directionally, which you are attempting to do, rightfully so. And I feel that we should be capable of moving into the high 90s in terms of utilization much sooner than the three-year time frame.
Okay, so that's helpful. So also, I wanted to understand the demand outlook in your key markets, US and Europe and GCC, where you have been gaining traction. So just some qualitative inputs on the demand scenario and how they are shaping up.
Yes, I think as we've outlined in our business update, you know, we've seen a stable demand outlook, and I must be very candid and upfront with stakeholders. You know, we're not seeing a whole lot of negativity of any kind, nor are we seeing, you know, very strong upward trends of any kind. We're largely seeing a stable environment. There are pockets of upsides, there are pockets of stability, and there are pockets of downsides, but on the whole, you know, it's a stable environment. That's really what we are seeing. Now, it could change from company to company, you know, because there's no central or, let's just say, unified measure of demand. You know, there are some parameters one can look at, you know, but ultimately it will be company-centric. And the outlook we currently have is stable with a upward bias.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. And sir, is it across US, Europe, and GCC? This is the same kind of environment you are looking at, or there is some better demand traction somewhere, maybe in Europe or GCC and.
I see a fair amount of homogeneity. If there's any difference, it's really at a retailer level. It's not at a region level, as we see it.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And sir, could you give us some clarity on Himeya brand with respect to what kind of target audience you are looking at, like mass premium or a mixture of mass plus premium? You'll also look at the lower end of price points. What will be your strategy with respect to distribution, especially whether it will be like more of departmental stores initially or, initial few years, what are your plans for the target audience as well as distribution?
So as I said, the brand is slated to be positioned for a very broad section of audiences. So we will cater to low, mass, and premium. You know, there's no question about it. It is not a premium brand alone in terms of price points. It will appeal to price points across the board. Competing brands and offerings will not be less expensive. Himeya will be priced, or rather is priced, in a manner which is comparable, if not more competitive, than competing brands, and hence for the kind of products that it's selling. And hence, you know, we will be catering to a broad cross-section of audiences. Because if that's not our positioning, it will not be possible for us to scale to the kind of numbers that we want to achieve over the next 5 years. So It is imperative that the group position itself such that the brand is available across price points and hence caters to a cross-section of audiences. We, with the launch of Himeya, group will operate two brands in India, which is Himeya and our earlier brand Atmosphere. We might be looking to even consider a third brand addition, sometime in the medium term. That's something we're still evaluating. But we might operate with up to three brands in the country.
Okay.
As of now, it's...
Yeah, sorry, sir. As of now?
As of now, it's two.
Okay. No problem. And sir, are there any plans of launching Himeya internationally because you already have connect with the customers in international markets as well, maybe D2C platforms, etc.?
Yeah, we will be first, focused on getting our momentum and rhythm with the launch that we've just sort of put through. And then at a suitable time, we will consider the brand's, positioning and appetite in other jurisdictions, including neighboring jurisdictions. So I think we will wait and watch for a little longer and channel our time and efforts in making sure that we get our entry right.
Understood, sir. The last question on branded revenues. What would be our share of branded revenues in total revenue today?
We will just, can I take that offline with you?
No
we
problem.
Will have, yeah.
No
it's not part of our business update, but we will just get back to you on that.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is pertaining to the demand scenario in H2 again. I just wanted to understand that a little bit better. So if I look at last year, we did around 1430 crores of sales in H2. And we spoke about excessive stocking in the market kind of happening in H1. So do we see kind of some growth coming in terms of H2 sales as well? Or are we kind of seeing a flatter trajectory going forward?
I think at this point, we are tracking the way we are for H1 on a YOY basis. Our demand outlook was stable, with the upward bias. At this point, our focus is to really consolidate our operating performance and get our, performance aligned appropriately, which is what we have hopefully achieved in the first half of this fiscal. And our efforts will be to achieve the same in the second half. Vis-a-vis your question on revenue growth on the second half, unfortunately, I can't make a specific comment on that, but, we hope to continue to deliver a stable operating performance in H2 as well.
Right. Thank you so much. And in terms of growth in the long term, if I was to look at it, I mean, in the past 10 years, we've grown at mid-single digits CAGR, and in the past 5 years, we've again grown at slightly lower than mid-single digits CAGR. I mean, if I was to look at this like a long-term investor and figure out that are there triggers now that you feel, especially with the upcoming FTAs or what kind of traction you're seeing in your markets, are there triggers wherein you see this growth significantly picking up in the next 3 years? Because you are talking about your capacity kind of reaching high 90s from the high 60s earlier than 3 years. So are there any triggers kind of that you're kind of seeing or playing in front of you, or it's more optimism that you kind of aim to reach there?
No. Let's examine factually. So we clocked revenues of 3,200 crores in FY22. Then we slipped again because of conditions that prevailed in FY23. We have room for capacity utilization growth. We are well entrenched in global markets. With the launch of our territorial division, we have expanded our client base as well. We have a very sort of we have a holistic product offering, global reach, strong brand portfolio, and global scale assets. And even our assets from an ESG standpoint are extremely well positioned. There's a China plus one piece playing out. There's a Pakistan plus two piece playing out. There's an FTA push and a domestic market push. With all these triggers, I think, you know, it's fair to assume that over the next 3 years, if not sooner, our capacity utilization level should see a boost. We mustn't forget that the last 3 years, the company has also lost a couple of clients, including, you know, some that aren't active anymore. And we have also intentionally discontinued some revenue streams of traded products, which we didn't think were adding a value. So, you know, some of that has also sort of, let's just say, impacted our revenue growth numbers. But we did it in prudence to right align our revenue model. So, you know, that's what it is, and that's how I see our outlook.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And my final question would be with regard to the relation of the pricing power in the market, especially with regard to cotton prices. So, I mean, yes, when cotton prices go up, our margins can kind of suffer. But when they go down, does that translate into significantly higher margins for us, and can we kind of gain traction in terms of EBITDA margins whenever cotton prices go down?
Yeah, in this industry, I mean, look, Ankit, I've always been clear with stakeholders. I mean, this is my point of view. I cannot comment on competition and other companies, but I just feel that this industry, you know, as far as pricing power is concerned, of course, you know, it is a little challenged as far as pricing power is concerned. So, you know, we feel that with the diversification of markets, you know, and looking at a strong India presence, you know, we should be aiding our ability on pricing power in the years to come. Point number one. And point number two, our focus on innovation and brands, you know, will also help aid that piece. So that's what Himmat Singha will specifically be doing to make sure that vis-a-vis the framework of this industry and relative to, you know, the challenges in this industry, we are positioned optimally as far as pricing power is concerned.
Right, thank you. That's very helpful, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity and congrats for this set of numbers. So my question is on the number of clientels you have added in last 2 years, maybe prior to the COVID, and what is the number of clientele you have currently? Because I guess that is also one of the drivers which will help you to, you know, increase your utilization level going ahead, adding more and more clients in newer markets. So just a thought on that.
Your voice was was going in and out. Can you just repeat your question, please?
Yeah, so just wanted to know the number of clients you have added over the last 2 years, maybe prior to the COVID, what was the number of clients you have you had, and right now, you know, what is the clientele you are having? So the increase in the clientele, if there is an increase in the clientele, number of clients, and whether that will help you to push your utilization levels going ahead.
Yeah, so Kaustubh, what I can't unfortunately specifically share the number of clients, but what I can tell you is the client addition has been significant after the addition of Territal, the Territal division, because of the underlying nature of the business. and it helped augment our global client base. It helped us on getting into new jurisdictions and expand our channel mix. So we are expanding our client mix, we are expanding our channel mix, we are expanding our geography mix / market mix, and that's the combination we are playing. Unfortunately, we have had headwinds which have taken away from our revenue streams also. So, you know, if you look at our revenue additions from a standpoint of, you know, sheer additions, we have on a net basis, it's not looking like much at this point, but on a gross basis, because we have had to fight some of the, let's say, loss of revenue streams we have had on account of, you know, either issues with clients because they aren't there anymore, or we have had, you know, discontinued streams of certain products and things like that. Our revenue addition's been, gross revenue addition has been pretty robust. And, that's been aided by the enhanced client mix that we are currently operating with. So we've had maybe a 5x jump or a 6x jump on client mix over the last 3 years, just to give you an idea.
Okay. And with UK, FCA, if that goes as per the plan, so that would further help you to add more clients into that region, or do you already have a good base over there?
No, it would help us deepen and enhance market share, theoretically speaking. It's ultimately going to be a company-centric sort of development when it does unfold, because there's competition as well. But if I look at it from a jurisdiction standpoint, India will stand to gain, should the FTAs come through. How the gain will be distributed between a few players, that's something time will tell. But, you know, it's definitely an advantage for the industry should the FTAs come through. And as I was telling the earlier, speaker, in addition to the FTAs, you know, there is the, let's just say, China piece that's playing out. There's also a piece on the Pakistan front, because the jurisdiction is challenged on various fronts at this point, and India stands to potentially gain from that as well. Then there's another trigger of a strong domestic market that we see in the years to come, which we've finally started our journey on embracing. And our major capex cycle's over, so, you know, we are well positioned. So these factors are how we see the whole puzzle.
Right. Okay. Thanks for the understanding.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So you said that our new brand will add approximately 1,000 crores revenue in next 5 years. So this will be above our current revenue, right?
Yes, hopefully, Aditya, that's how we are seeing it. Of course, there can always be headwinds, but I'm looking at it as over and above. You're right.
Okay, so that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to 2 per participant. Next question is from the line of Nagaraj Chandrasekhar from Emerge Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you. Your peers who have thus far up their guidance on...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Nagaraj. Your voice is very low.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, this is better, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Question, your peers who have reported thus far, in this being a very concentrated industry, your peers who have reported thus far have upped guidance on volumes, and we've also seen a narrowing of the India to global cotton price differential in favor of India, which also should theoretically help your spinning side of the business with margins there, cotton arrivals being stable and whatnot in this season. So just wanted to get a sense of this 67% moving to high 90s you alluded to a previous caller. How quickly can that happen? I mean, on the sheeting side, how quickly can you get back to the 12 to 13 million square meters run rate you were doing, late 2021? Should that not happen a lot quicker, you yourself alluded to? And why have you know, you've seen your peers raise guidance quite significantly in on calls just and over the past couple of weeks. Why have we not been seeing the same sort of robust demand in the market?
Well, point number one, I can't answer for my peers. We are seeing a stable demand environment with a upward bias. That's what we are looking at, that's what we are seeing. The other queries you had, do get in touch with us offline because there some of them are pretty granular and, we'll need to explain that to you, let's just say, or take you through our thoughts in a more granular manner, for us to be on the same page. So would really appreciate if you could get in touch with us, and we will take you through that.
Understood. But are you just directionally?
On the utilization question, sorry, the speaker had asked me would I see us reaching the high 90s over the next 3 years? And my response was, yes, most definitely we see ourselves reaching that number in the next 3 years. But, that's a fairly long time, and we should hopefully be there much sooner, is what I said to that speaker. Now, the definition of much sooner is a little difficult for me to articulate, but, we see us getting there prior to the 36-month framework that was laid out by the speaker.
Got it. Got it. Got it. And just on the spinning side of the business, which I know you don't break it out, it's important to get it into your home textile piece, but just on that part of the business, directionally, should you not see an improvement in margins given if there is an uptake in utilization on our home textile side and decline in our cotton side?
Let me explain that, Nagaraj. Spinning running full. So if the utilization goes up in home textiles, that will not change spinning's fortunes because it's already full from a standpoint of capacity utilization. So let's now examine what can change spinning's fortunes. You are saying that, or not fortunes, but operating performance. So you were mentioning that there's a narrowing of differential between Indian cotton prices and international cotton prices, and the narrowing of such cotton prices should augment the operating performance of spinning. That's what you'd mentioned, right? So, is that right, Nagaraj?
Yes.
So, specifically speaking, we're not sure what you mean by saying that there is a lower, let's say there's a narrowing difference between Indian and international cotton prices. I'm not sure what that statement means because the varietals of Indian cotton and international varietals that are largely consumed in this industry are very different. And so we are not seeing any specific narrowing of Indian vis-à-vis international cotton prices, and hence there sort of being any, let's say, improvement or potential improvement in spinning performance. So the underlying statement and/or observations to us, don't seem right, which is why I said we'll be happy to understand your perspective and then share ours in greater detail. But let's take an example. Let's take, our regular Indian cotton variety, which is currently at, 60,000, 61,000, which was the case 3 months ago and 4 months ago. And let us take the case of certain international varietals of cotton, which has also been largely range bound. You know, if the two were to narrow, that means either the international has dropped or the Indian has increased. So the Indian has definitely not increased and the international has definitely not dropped. So we don't see how there has been a narrowing of, you know, cotton prices vis-a-vis Indian and international varietals. So point number one. And point number two, even if they have narrowed in theory, there is no direct correlation to operating performance.
Understood, understood. So you, what you're saying is you're deriving the margin on the home textile side.
We're not deriving the margin from the home textile side. You know, we have capital employed in spinning and therefore spinning has to earn its money and so on for home textiles. And the value chain has to earn its money at every step of the way. All I'm saying is there is no direct correlation that we can comprehend wherein should there be, if at all, should there be any narrowing of Indian and international cotton prices, if that will necessarily create a positive impact for spinning, that's an equation I'm not able to figure out offhand. We don't see a direct correlation.
Last question, could you let me know the debt that you have to repay / refinance by 24, second half, 25 and 26?
We will be happy to look that up and let you know. But for the rest of the year, it's pretty mild through the end of fiscal 24. For 25 and 26, to get in touch, we will take you through it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nagaraj.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, next question is from the line of Nirali Kopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So from your comments, what I understand is that the debt repayment, what we have planned for the next 3 years from the internal accrual, is quite gradual. So do we have any plans to raise some capital via equity and repay a chunk of debt at one go so that we can see the benefit of growth moving on to the bottom line?
The last tranche of equity we raised was about 100 crores through an FCCB we placed to the International Finance Corporation, Washington. At this point, there are no further plans to raise equity. The speaker had asked me about my views as to how I see the debt repayment or the net debt levels over the next 3 years, and I said we should be below 2,000 crores. You know, that's a substantial correction from where we are. And, you know, at this point, we have no specific additional, let's say, plans to raise large sums of equity. And should there be such plans, then we'll definitely keep our stakeholders posted.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you all so much for all your questions and queries. I do hope I have shed light on most of them, but those who need to reach out to us offline to seek answers to their queries, please do, and we'll be more than happy to take you through it. And I look forward to catching up with you all next quarter. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.